everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1G Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And this is April 8th, 2025. And my guest today is the amazing Mo Abdelbaki. I love him. I mean, I love our conversations. I remember last month we just had a wonderful little dialogue. Mo is a Vedic astrologer, which is a little bit different than Western astrology, which is what I practice. He's also a tarot master and knows a little bit and a lot, actually, about many, many, many things. So you'll hear him talk mythology. You will hear him talk I Ching and any number of other things. He may even be talking musical instruments or knitting sometimes. Like I said, he knows a lot about a lot of different things. So I am always thrilled to have him here. And of course, you can catch him on his own radio show at 3 p.m. on Wednesday afternoons here on 1G Radio. It's Mo's Paisley Penny Arcade. So I hope you're listening to that too. So we have a couple of announcements before we start the show today. And one of them is Saturday, it's 12th day. It's the 12th of April. So look for special sales on calls and chats, time-based sessions, etc., on 12listen.com. And a lot of things are on sale that day, but you don't necessarily have to do them that day, like the time-based sessions. And if you find a class that might be put on sale that day, but the class isn't actually that day. So if you're interested, just go over, take a look, see what's available. And also, if you would like to join us today in our private group over on Facebook, we have a chat room, that's what we call it. And I think the easiest way to get there is to go to 12radio.com. And what you'll see is that row of different buttons and tabs that you can click. Well, if you click the chat button, it'll redirect you to our private group over on Facebook. All right. And I'll take a look and you know, try to keep an eye on that today, see if you've got questions or comments, that kind of thing. But what I'd like to do before Mo gets on the show is I'd like to talk just a few minutes about what I call the cosmic dance for the week of April 7th. And of course, if you follow the astrology, you know there's a few things going on this week that we're paying attention to. And one of them is that full moon at 23 Libra, which is going to be on Saturday, April 12th. It's going to be in the evening, 5:22 p.m. That is going to be Pacific time. But that also means we're going to have a gorgeous view of the moon. I mean, I guess weather permitting, but it's going to, you know, that full moon is just going to be perfect right there in the evening. So a couple things, though. What makes this one a little more interesting? Because, of course, we have a full moon every month, every 29 and a half days. But they're all unique. They're all a little bit different. But some of the things that I think make this one very interesting, first, it's in Libra. And the ruler of Libra, the planetary ruler, is Venus. And you may know that Venus has been going retrograde for the last 6 weeks. Well, she is going to move out of that retrograde cycle 40 minutes after the full moon is perfect on Saturday night. So to me, you know, it's like there are no coincidences. That's a wonderful thing to have happen. And you probably know, some of you are probably even celebrating the fact that Mercury moved out of its retrograde cycle yesterday. That was Monday, April 7th. So we've got those two planets that have been kind of simultaneously moving retrograde through first Aries, and then they backed into Pisces, and now they're both going to be direct, not at the moment of the full moon, but right then, you know. And truly, Venus is what we'd call stationary, meaning that she's not moving forwards or backwards. She looks stationary in the sky to us at the time of the full moon. So as we look at this full moon, remember that full moons, they signal culminations, opportunities for release. Something may not be quite over yet, but you realize it's come to its fullness. It's come to, you're able to see everything that it's going to be. And so this, I think, especially in combination with the fact that Venus is sitting there stationary at the time of the full moon, I think it's really a great opportunity to do everything that Venus is about, which, you know, it's to look very thoughtfully at our values, our desires, our preferences, our attitudes towards love and relationships and worth. Now, this includes our self-worth. And here again, I hope that we do this on a regular basis, especially with Venus retrograde. But when it comes in combination with that full moon, I think there's almost kind of a directive to us, you know, not exactly a mandate, but just saying, hey, guys, what is it that you've learned during this time? What is it that you've really felt about Venus? You know, about the idea of being attractive or about the idea of what you want to draw into your lives. So, and we can look at this, we can view and evaluate both the spiritual and the material aspects of our lives. And here again, with Mercury having been retrograde too, it really helps. But nobody says that self-analysis or what some people call shadow work is easy, because it's not. You know, sometimes looking inside or really considering something can be a little painful, but it doesn't need to stay painful. It's just looking at it and going, you know what? That's not what I want. That's not what I want to attract into my life. That's not what I want my life to be or my attitudes, etc. Now, part of this full moon, it's interesting because Chiron, which is that asteroid that represents being the wounded healer, which, by the way, when you hear that, it kind of sounds daunting, but Chiron represents our healing path. Do you realize that? When Chiron brings up stuff in our lives, it's to expose it and say, hey, guys, look, really? Are you being fooled by this illusion? By this delusion? And so it's our healing path. Well, guess what? It's sitting at 23 Aries on this full moon, which means it's sitting right next door to the sun. So once again, that idea of, you know, of healing wounds, of exposing things and looking at them and going, I'm not going to be fooled by this anymore. You know, this was nothing but a delusion. This was just a shadow that I can like brush away. Now, it may take a little bit more than a few seconds of brushing it away, but just going, ah, I see what this is. Now I can kind of see this. So that sun is just really merged. Our identity is really merged with these revelations that have to do with our doubts or our worries. And we can see them more for what they really are. So the good news is when we really accept who we are, or we look at those blemishes, maybe we look at something that, you know, these are our traits, where these are the good ones and these are the bad ones. But it's our personal path to healing, to transformation, and to joy. Because you know what? Nobody can make us feel bad or inferior about the things that we're willing to embrace. It's like you want to poke at me, or you want to, you know, demonstrate something. It's like, I already knew that. You're not going to scare me with that information. So this is an interesting kind of thing going on this next weekend with Chiron sitting there right with that full moon. So I want you to know, though, we may resist those uncomfortable revelations. But, you know, when I was thinking about it, I thought, but you know, with the sun in Aries, well, it's going to feel like a little bit more is ripping off the Band-Aid. You know, we're going to go, okay, let's just get this over with. Let's figure this out and do it. It might be scary, quick, and effective, because we're just going to expose things to the light. Now, another thing going on is that the sun and the moon are also both in a square to Mars. And Mars, of course, is motivation. But see, so what we've got is three of the very initiating and bold cardinal signs are all involved in this. You know, Aries, Libra, and Cancer. And so, you know, that's it. They're bold. They're initiating, but they do things in different ways. So we're going to be juggling or jostling a few things. You might see it that way. And also recognize that even though there could be revelations and you know what? I'm going to do this for good. I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to do whatever it is. It, you know, we're going to drag our feet just a little bit, I think. And partially too, I'm kind of getting that from the Libra moon itself, because, you know, Libra likes to, well, some people call it indecisive, but it's the idea it wants to weigh all the options. It doesn't want to miss anything. And so it's like, oh, what if I do this? What if I do that? How is it going to look at this way? So that Libra moon, she's kind of famous for being indecisive, or Libra in general. And so I recognize that there could be a little of that, especially because right after the full moon, the moon itself is going to be in what I call kind of cranky aspects. And those are actually what we call inconjuncts, which means they're not in, it's an uncomfortable place. And she's going to be in an uncomfortable place with Venus in Pisces, Uranus in Taurus, and Saturn in Pisces. So that makes me think, okay, we come to these revelations and we really want to start moving, but then we have this little indecisive moment. So, you know what I'd say, try not to revoke a decision that you know in your heart is the right thing to do. Just because, you know, it's unfamiliar doesn't mean you have to back away from it. So, you know, if you've decided to do something, you know, change something in your life, in your lifestyle, maybe it's even, you know, leave a job or to quit doing a hobby or pick up another hobby, or maybe it has to do with a relationship, you know, it has to do with something you're attracting or you don't want to attract into your life. Well, you know what? Just make that commitment to yourself. But in general, with Mercury and Venus both going direct, you know, just ask yourself, what are the messages that have come to me over the last few weeks? What have we learned? What has been unveiled? You know, what have we completed? You know, what do we want to do next? What do we want to attract into our lives? Do we want to open a new chapter? What does that new chapter look like? So that's what I want you to be thinking about, especially with this full moon this week. So let's get Mo on the show. That's kind of my, and by the way, just one more thing. And that is, with those retrogrades, I like to look at what I call the shadows, meaning when does the planet get back to the place where it first started the retrograde? For Mercury, that's going to be April 25th. So these next couple of weeks are very important for kind of coming up with those revelations, you know, for incorporating those insights. With Venus, that day, she leaves the shadow on May 15th. So we have a little more time with her. But, and there again, it doesn't mean that on that particular day, okay, all understanding stops. It just means that this is a very fertile time. Just like when you plant seeds at the right time of year, or maybe under the right kind of moon, it's the same kind of thing. You know, what can you learn? What can you really take away from these retrogrades? Well, these weeks right after the planets stop, you know, moving in that retrograde motion, that's the time to incorporate the insights into your life. Okay. All right. So Mo, are you with me today?
I am here. How are you?
I am good. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Oh, as always, like I said, I don't even remember for sure exactly what we talked about last time, but I remember thinking, oh my God, that was a great conversation.
That's funny. I was trying to remember, too, and I don't remember, but it's always fun. So
yeah, I just remember hanging up and going, oh, my God, I so enjoyed that conversation. So whatever it was, I don't know, maybe it was about the solstice or I don't know.
I don't recall.
I should go back and listen to it, I guess. Sometimes yeah, I do go back and listen.
That's always a good sign, though, when you I know I always look forward to it. I always look forward to the second Tuesday of the month.
Oh, good. So, well, thank you. Thank you very much. So what's on your mind?
Oh, gosh, I guess I'm kind of amazed at just the mood of things right now. I mean, things are hopping. This is one of those times when I'm astounded by everything. You know, there's I'm a political guy, and I'm not going to get into politics, but, mm-hmm. you know, there are times when you look around and you say, okay, there are two ways things can go. There is the way of just kind of lying down and going, me, 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 you know, or there's the way of not doing that. And it's kind of fascinating to see the mobilization of everything. And in Vedic astrology right now, everything except for Mars and Jupiter and the moon are in Pisces. Mm. So that's turmoil, you know, that's that tumultuous, that's that raging
boiling
water. Yeah. And so that's it's fascinating to me because I've been watching this. It reminds me of the 60s to some extent, except there's so much more at stake right now than there was a lot at stake, of course, back then. But there's a lot at stake now. And on top of it, you know, we have something that wasn't going on back then, and that's rich people are losing their money, you know, as well as regular people losing their money. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a lot of fun watching the world. And these are serious things going on, but I was a history major in college. And I had in my mind, I was going to be an Egyptologist, which is, I think I would have found to be kind of, frankly, rather tedious at times. Academia with the publish and perish and all of that thing. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I've had the great joy of helping people with their lives over the past 50 years at any rate. Well, no, yeah, 50 years. That's a living, breathing, fire breathing often, you know, sort of career, as you know so well. And mm-hmm. and your other career as well. You were helping people live. You were helping people to heal. And I think that that's been so much more fulfilling. And this is a fascinating time in our culture and a fascinating time in our lives. And I just feel this frothy energy going on. And of course, you were talking about Aries, and that's part of that as well. So there's so much happening right now. And you talk about healing. And I think that after all this is over, my goodness, there's going to be a need for a lot of healing. That's just mm-hmm. all there is yes. to that.
Yes, yes.
So this is a time when there has been a lot of injury, emotional injury, and a lot of trauma. And there's, you know, have you ever seen such incredible decisive division? Well, there was a lot of division. Would you say there was a lot of division in the 60s?
Oh, that's exactly what came into my mind when you said that. And, you know, when I think about what's going on in the world, oftentimes I just think, oh, my gosh, this has never happened before. But all you have to do is look back in history and know that's not true. And right. and for us in particular, yeah, the 60s. And I mean, you know, I remember, and I don't know if I've ever said this on the air, but I went to the University of Colorado, which was kind of a hotbed for protests and that kind of thing. And so as an 18-year-old, I, you know, go up there as a freshman, and things were just exactly what you're talking. It's just boiling and roiling. And actually, the next few years weren't that way because it was right at the end of the Vietnam War. And so what mm-hmm. was happening is there were protests on campus all the time, and literally the police throwing tear gas. And actually, at one point, I don't know how well you know Boulder, but, you know, I mean, and it's a great, it's much bigger than it was, and it was a great
Pretty
little
well.
City. But anyway, you know, there's that one major highway that comes in. You
right.
know, the turnpike. And
36,
so
yeah.
the kids, I'd say, you know, all these, you know, 20,000 CU students took over that bridge.
Oh, yeah.
So that the bridge was closed and people couldn't get into the city other than if they kind of went way around and came in through Golden. And I remember as an 18-year-old going, oh, my God, the world is ending. I mean, that was my thought. And there was a part of me that thought, I am never going to see my parents again. I'm never going to see my family. I mean, this is war. And this is, you know, I'm going to die here. I'm going to die right here on this campus. And I'm never going to see anybody again. This is the end. And because it was just overwhelming. Other than a few race riots in high school, that I had been through too. But, you know, physically, just being exposed to, I guess, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say mass violence, but just that turmoil of the riots and the protests.
Right.
And, wow. You know, it forever stayed with me because it was like I said, I guess I was a pretty sheltered 18-year-old. And I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't imagine the world like that. And of course, Watergate happened when I was in college, too. So, I mean, those were very interesting years for me. And especially being at a big school like that, where they took things very seriously and saw it as their job to protest everything going on in the world. And I often, I say this with a smile, but it's true. You'd be sitting in class and somebody would come running in the door and going, there's a protest down at such and such. And half the class would run out.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Now, when I think, I mean, there again, the first time it happened, I went, what? You know, and I was a Catholic school kid, which even exacerbated it because I'm like, you don't even talk unless you're taught, you know, you're called upon, you don't. And all of a sudden, these kids are just running out of class. And I remember going, oh, my God. So, yeah, I grew up really fast by going to CU and living through those times. So I would just say, yeah, these times are really interesting, you know, as the Chinese would say, very interesting. But you know what? It was that way in the 60s. And I bet you if you looked back and you thought about what it was like in the 40s, can you imagine kids growing up in the 40s? And not just in the United States, but all over the world, what their lives were like, especially kids in Europe, where, you know, from day to day, they didn't know if they'd have anything to eat. They didn't know if, you know, how, when the bombing was going to stop. You know, sometimes I see those pictures of World War II and those kids just walking around in rubble. And I can't imagine what that felt like to them.
Well, you know, there were some differences between the Andy Hardy era, you know, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, and our era. And that was those kids emulated their parents and wanted to be just like them. You know, they dressed like them. They spoke like them, more or less, you know.
Yes.
I was a freak. I was one of the kids that maybe you were afraid of, you know.
Well, no, I didn't say I was afraid of those kids. I was just like startled.
I was one of the kids that would have hung out on the hill. You know,
exactly. Yes. Yeah.
And for those of you listening, the hill was a part of Boulder that was wild, absolutely wild and crazy. And you obviously remember that, where Tulagi's was and all that stuff.
Because I hung out on the hill. You know, of course, most kids did.
Yeah. And it was just a friend of mine. Worked at the Flatirons Theater and lived at the Flatirons Theater. And, you know, just kind of, so I lived in Fort Collins and I would hitchhike to Boulder when I got kicked out of my house, you know, and, or sometimes I'd drive if I trusted my car and stay there for a while and go to class with him. You know,
maybe our paths actually crossed.
Could very well have.
Yeah.
Could have. And it was a wild place. I mean, it was just very strange. And CSU was, Colorado State was, it was different because it was a agricultural college, you know, it was, but it was just as much of a hotbed of radicalism, just with the students, SDS, and there was a Weather Underground there, but it wasn't as overt, I don't think, and that made it a little more dangerous, I think, as well. I spoke in one of my power peaks about the FBI coming to my house when I was 14, because I ended up, anyway, that's a long story, but, and not worth telling here, but I became very, what we would call it, politically aware when I was about 13 or 14. And that has been something throughout my life. But this is not about politics anymore. This is about a complete change in the world psyche, I think. Because there is no more, nothing is isolated anymore. There is no longer a sense of world isolation. We have a world mind because of the internet. And it's like the Arab Spring, the so-called Arab Spring, which was watched live on television all over the world. Mm-hmm. And everything is happening now. This is a fascinating time. I don't know what is happening precisely, but it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating that everything is happening at once. It's like what's happening in this country used to just kind of affect this country, but what's happening in this country now is affecting the entire world. Mm-hmm. And the entire world is sitting back and going, we don't like this. This is mm-hmm. not something we want to see. So I'm very interested, and I can't say I'm enjoying it, but I'm kind of enjoying it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And yeah. I would say the same thing, but enjoying it from a sense like what it has really encouraged in me is just like studying more history and really looking and the astrology of it. Like how is the astrology, you know, and there again, knowing that the United States basically came into existence 250 years ago when Pluto was in Capricorn, and knowing mm-hmm. that we went through a, you know, that return. Pluto returning to the location where it was when we were born. And so to me, that's a fascinating. Now, of course, Pluto now in the Western system is in Aquarius. But see, to me, that whole transition and looking at what does that really mean? Because for most life organisms, and here again, when you think about societies, you think about organizations, you know, eventually they've got to grow or die. You know, they've got to change. You know, organisms don't just stay the same and stay static. And so even though I've only done a little research, it's just interesting to know, you know, or to think about, like you were talking about in Egypt and Egyptology, you know, where do the great civilizations go? You know, what brings down the Roman Empire? What mm-hmm. brings down the British Empire, for that matter? Right. The way Britain controlled, you know, countries and pieces of land all over the world. So just, I mean, that's what I enjoy. And that's the psychology that, or the sociology of it that I like, is looking at how do things change over time, and then trying to put them with the astrology too, without saying that the planets do it, but just understanding that these are natural passages. These are natural, you know, states of one thing follows the other, just like in a astrology where, you know, Taurus will always follow Aries and then Gemini. Right. It's going to be a pattern, and you don't just lay down and say, okay, well, then there's nothing I can do about it, because it always looks different. But also that's what I'm enjoying, is looking at the astrology of it.
Well, there are three words that come to mind, and they're Latin, and that's the three words are sic semper tyrannis, which simply mean thus it is always to tyrants. You know, and that is that the human spirit will never suffer tyrants forever.
Right. You know,
that tyranny will never completely hang in there. They can't. We as human beings, you know, just can't put up with it forever. It mm-hmm. lasts for a while, and some people will put up with it for a while. But true tyranny is not going to be tolerated for that long. And mm-hmm. people may say, well, what about this culture? What about that culture? You know, the Roman Empire was brought down by lead poisoning, they've discovered.
You know?
Yeah, that's it. You know, rise and fall of the Roman Empire. I took that class in college and was stunned, you know, to realize that what brought down the great Roman Empire was lead poisoning. And it's like, really? Is that what it was?
Because it made people crazy?
It made people crazy, and it made them vulnerable to, you know, all sorts of problems. But that mm-hmm. was really what kind of did it, was that it just made them, it just killed them, it, you know. And plus, they overextended themselves. That was a big mm-hmm. part of it, too. But it really did make them, really, it just made them crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bone problems, and it made them weak and nuts. And, you know, with Egypt was conquered over and over and over again, and they were diluted, and they weren't really, you know, the original Egyptians I mean, that this is just to show you they weren't very, they were kind of like, well, we don't want to fight. We don't want to fight. You want to take us over? Go ahead. You know, we'll let you, you know. They really weren't very violent about things like that. So they assimilated people. They were like the Borg. You know, come on in.
Yes,
and
yes.
We'll take you on. You can be part of us. And they did that for a long, 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 long time. And it worked for a while, and then it didn't work so well anymore. But it's fascinating to look at cultures, and it's fascinating to look at all of this. But, you know, over the weekend, there were over 1,300 different protests all over the country,
yes,
with tens of thousands of people who were, you know, saying, we're not going to put up with this. And the rest of the world is going, well, that's pretty interesting. You know, what is happening? There is a tension, and yet things, I mean, it's fascinating for me to watch. And astrologically, with all of these planets in Pisces, in Vedic astrology, it's that story about, it's that old myth about Aphrodite and Eros having to jump into the water. That was so turbulent because they had teased Typhon to the point where he was going to murder them, you know. And these waters are frothy and dangerous, but they've tied themselves to each other. So I think that this is that moment when we are all tied together. And not everyone is in it, but now suddenly even people who would normally be saying, I'm not going to go against the status quo, or saying, wait a minute, I've lost billions of dollars because of the stock market, are beginning to say something is wrong here. There's something is not quite right. So I think what we're seeing is fascinating. I'm just really quite, it's that Piscean murk. I don't mean that Pisces people are murky. They're not. They're, I think, wonderful. But the dream state of it is a little bit scary, if that makes sense. There's turbulence. There is a lot going on. And at the same time, it really is fascinating. And on the other end of that, because it's Ketu, it's the south node, we have the north node in the Vedic system in Virgo. Now, in the Western system, it's still in Virgo, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Or is it in...
Well, they're Pisces in Virgo.
Yeah. Okay. So they're still there in the West as well, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So because that axis, that Pisces-Virgo axis is this cutting point with the moon, which goes north and south and north and south. So right now it's cutting the ecliptic in half. So it's going to do that until the nodes move backwards, and then the axis will be Leo and Aquarius. And when that changes, we will see a change in things, I think.
Yes, yes. Actually, in the Western system, it is a north node in Pisces and the south node in Virgo, and it's they haven't been there very long. I don't remember exactly when they switched, but it hasn't been very long, and they generally stay in a sign for about 18 months, don't they?
Right, right, yeah. 18 months, yeah, just about.
So it's going to be a year and a half. Well, maybe not quite a year and a half.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's going to be, because in the Vedic system, they're only in 3 degrees so it's going to be a while, yeah. So we're watching this thing unfold in real time, and it's going to be a while.
Yeah, well, yeah. And you know what's intriguing to me, too, is, you know, here again, I've lived a long time, so I've been through some protests in my years, right? But just trying to understand what works and what doesn't. And just like you said, you know, there's all these extremes. The extreme could be I'm out there every day, you know, doing something. And the other extreme is I'm not listening to news. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to pay attention. I'm going to just isolate and just like, you know, cover my ears and go la, 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 la. I can't hear it. And just knowing where to be on that continuum, Because I will, you know, there is a part of me that says, you know, what is my contribution? What can I do that's positive? And is that just on a daily basis with the people that I meet? I mean, is that the most important thing I can do? Or, you know, should I be out there carrying a sign? And those, I don't remember going through so much angst before about what my position should be.
Right.
You know? Right. It's like, right. And you know, is that a function maybe of getting older? Maybe it's a function of my Aquarian moon that says, seen this, been there, done that. You know, it's like, you know, trying to figure out what works and what doesn't, what's really effective and what's not. And just getting all, you know, raising your blood pressure for nothing, in other words, you know.
Well, when was the last time you felt that you had to do something?
Oh, a couple months ago.
Yeah, but you see, a lot of people haven't felt motivated to do anything in years, in decades.
Yeah, no, that's not.
And part of it is the hundreds of thousands, quite literally, hundreds of thousands of people who suddenly lost their jobs.
Right.
You know,
I was going to say is, and I've had these discussions with my dad, and now he is a Taurus, I will admit, and boy, and I know you are too, but he just like, you know, he sticks to what, you know, where he's at with things. And so we're having all these discussions and I'm going, Dad, this is what could happen as a result of blah, blah, blah. And he'll go, oh, no, that could never happen. See, that could never happen. That's not going to happen. And I just realized he is one of those people, you know, he's going on his own life experience and say, that's impossible. And it's like, no, Dad, it's not impossible. And that's it. Yeah. Many people have lost their jobs.
Oh,
you know, these things are not written in stone. Life changes. And it may in your lifetime, I mean, he's 95 years old. So it's like in his lifetime, you may not have ever seen that happen. But it is, it's not only going to happen, it is happening. And I see him just like, nope, that's not possible, you know. And, but there again, maybe he gets a pass. He's 95 years old.
Right, right, right. And it is, yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, because of the drop and cover, did you go through drop and cover drills?
You know what? I remember those, but I don't actually remember ever having to do one. Maybe in first grade. But that was it.
Yeah, we had some, believe it or not, in nursery school, and then we also had them through about second grade. And especially with the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
They were, you know, doing those. And I had dreams. I haven't had one in probably 30, 40 years, but I have had them all the way through adulthood. The new, you know, the mushroom cloud dreams, you know? And at some point I finally said, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't believe it's going to happen. And I don't believe it's going to happen. And I don't know, I may have mentioned this to you before, maybe not, but I've also decided that if it is going to happen, that I'm going to take my phone out with me and get my music app out and have them play Tumbling Tumbleweeds by the Sons of the Pioneers. And I just think that'll be the perfect way to, you know, watch these mushroom clouds. That'll be the way to go. But I don't believe that humanity is that insane. But if it is, that's, you know, what are you going to do? But you say to yourself, that can't happen. But I've also, and that seems a little dismal, but I'm much more optimistic than that. What I'm seeing now in response to what I'm seeing now makes me incredibly optimistic.
Yes.
You know? It kind of makes me happy, and it takes it has nothing to do with being liberal or conservative. This isn't about picking a side. It's about saying people will fight for what they believe in a peaceful way. with the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who were out yesterday, there was one arrest and then he was released because of a misunderstanding. You know, it was nonviolent, not this Saturday it was. Nonviolent, it was purely wonderful stuff. It was peaceful, which is what I believe in. And I believe in peace. And it was all about people acting and saying, and this is what we're talking about. That's the Aquarian age right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying there's hope. That's saying that everyone has a voice. That's kind of the dream of the Aquarian age, that we don't just sit back. And it has nothing to do, that really does have nothing to do with politics.
Right.
In my opinion, it has to do with everyone feeling that they have the ability to say, I don't feel stifled.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what happens in the government. It doesn't matter what happens in one place or another. We as individuals have to feel that we have a voice. And even no matter what happens in the future with Supreme Court and this and that and whatever, we have to feel fulfilled as individuals. And I believe that completely. We mm-hmm. must never, ever feel like, what's the use?
Right.
Because that's when we are lost. And I think that that's the worst thing that can happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, another thing that I really strongly believe is just the idea. In fact, my sister and I were discussing this the other day, that we get very adamant about believing that we know the right way. We know how right. somebody else should live. We know exactly how a situation should unfold. And, you know, I do this. I will tell you, I'm adamant, you know, and maybe it's because I've got three Aries planets. And so, you know, it's kind of like, I know the right thing. And over and over and over again, it's just been proven to me that, you know what, that probably wasn't the best outcome. No matter how it looked from that particular moment in time, that probably wasn't the best outcome.
Right.
And the more, and I just said, you know what, I know it's hard to stand by and watch things unfold or watch a particular person do something that you go, this is going to be bad for you. But that may be the very thing that needs to happen in right. that person's life. You
exactly.
know, and there again, you know, you kind of get back to that. Do you really know what every single person's curriculum is? Do you really know the purpose of their life? Can you absolutely, with no hesitation whatsoever, say, this is what you should do? And exactly. more, the longer I live, the more I say, no, I can't, because I can't possibly predict every single thing that could possibly happen. And what looks in the moment like a tragedy, what looks in the moment like the biggest mistake they ever made, turns out to be exactly the stone or the foundation that they use that really just makes their life, you know, gleaming, you know?
Right.
And I feel like we just have to stand back sometimes at least and say, you know what it looks like to me? I think this would be the best path. I think this would be the best outcome, but I don't know for sure. And you've got to choose. Like you say, every person has to have that feeling somewhat of self-determination.
Right.
You know?
I believe that 100%. As a matter of fact, I have said many times that whatever is happening right now was chosen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't make I wasn't part of the decision where things are now, but it was decided, and
mm-hmm.
that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know the karma of this country. Do you?
Yeah.
No, probably not. I don't.
Oh, I think I do, Mo. I think I do, but no.
Yeah, but
don't.
You see, I don't. I don't even pretend to understand the true nature of these things. And so I have to just simply say, okay, let's see how things progress. Let mm-hmm. things unfold as they will. And I will fight for what I believe is right, fight in parentheses or quotation marks. But I will believe my beliefs, and I will ardently support what I believe to be correct. But I also have the belief that things will be as they need to be, ultimately, mm-hmm. because that's the way it is. But I will never acquiesce. I will never really be at peace with what I consider to be wrong. That I will say. And I believe mm-hmm. most people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, that's not a political statement. That's with anything. If you get a health diagnosis that you don't like, most people will fight against it. I know people who give up on life.
Mm-hmm.
My God, that's a devastating thing to do. People give up on life. My friend did that. Mm-hmm. He gave up on it. I kept saying, you can't do that. You can't give up on life. Life is the most amazing thing there is. Every day is a gift. You wake up and here you are. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning is feel joy that I've done it again, you know,
mm-hmm.
that I've awakened. Mm-hmm. And I say the date to myself, if I can think of it, you know, and I really do feel, and yes, sometimes I'm annoyed that it's morning already or whatever the case may be, but it's a wondrous thing, this life of ours. And I look forward to what I'm going to learn in that day. And what I, even though I have to do some things maybe that are like, oh God, you know, it's dog poop day or whatever it might
right.
be. You know,
right.
I pick it up every day, but you know how it is. And, you know, get it ready for whatever. But every day is a thrill to me because I know that one day I don't get to see the color of the sky, or I don't get to watch the clouds. And I don't get to eat, or I don't get to whatever, because it will end. But when people give up on life, I've seen what happens, and it ends. And it can, and it's not like, oh, it'll happen when I want it to happen. Sometimes it just ends.
Mm-hmm.
We have to fight for what we believe in. And if we believe in life, well, we have to fight for it, you know.
Yep.
It's too important. So it isn't just one thing or another. It's every aspect of what's important to us. We have to be participants in this existence of ours. We have to, I mean, we talk about Tarot, for example, which I love Tarot. I
mm-hmm, am me too.
Passionate about it. A friend of mine, we were, you know, FaceTiming this last week, and he got a Crowley deck, and he's never had one before, and he said, we started talking about it, and before long, I was frothing at the mouth, you know, and we were doing all this stuff, and he said, you really know this stuff, and I thought, I fought for this knowledge.
Right.
I fought for this information. I fought for years for this information. Not in anybody else or myself, but I fought Aleister Crowley for this information because he didn't make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I got it. I worked hard for it. And he absolutely hid it because that's the way he did things. But you see, that's the price of good, sound knowledge. And you know that with astrology. You had to fight for your knowledge. You had to work for it.
Yeah.
That's but
and continue to. Continue
to. Yeah. Every single day. Every single day. This life of ours is magnificent. And it's worth, and if it's too easy, there's something wrong there.
Are you sure we can't get to that point where it's easy?
I have never found anything. It's like learning to juggle. I still can't juggle, but I keep trying, you know?
Yeah.
Yo-yos, I was really good with yo-yos, probably still am pretty good, but it didn't come easily. I had to really work with it, you know?
All right.
That's good enough.
Yes. Well, we've got 2 minutes to wrap up the show. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being on the show today and for the inspiration. And somebody, let's see, is it Tara in the chat room said, what are the services that you offer on 1-2? So just quickly, and Mo can speak to that too, but I offer, you know, calls, scheduled calls. If you want to, you know, talk to me at a particular time, I also have time-based sessions, which means you can buy a block of time and then use it whenever you want. So, and I am on 1-2 Listen, and when you don't see me as available, please just ask for a call back or ask for a scheduled call. How about you, Mo? Now, are you still doing some things on 1-2 Listen or 1-2 Academy?
I am not right now. I'm on a hiatus from 1-2 just because my wife has needs that I need to be available for.
Yeah. Right. I certainly understand that, which is part of my scheduling issue, too, you know, trying to be attentive to family medical issues.
Right. It is. Yes. Yeah. I need to be available on the spur of the moment as it is.
So. Yes. Yes. Me, too. All right. Well, Mo, anything else you want to announce today?
I'll be on my radio show tomorrow at 3, and thank you so much for mentioning it earlier, at 3 p.m. tomorrow, the Paisley Penny Arcade, and and just for people, be happy. Forget everything else. You be happy, okay? That's important.
All right. And I think you're going to like the quote that I chose. I have a quote for the week. I'll say it in a second. Thanks, Serena. Don't want to forget to say thanks.
Thank you, Serena. Absolutely.
For being our producer today. And everybody, please stay tuned because up next, I'm going to join Kelly Whetstone on her show, Empowerment. And we always have an interesting conversation, too. So I hope that you will, you know, just stick around. But the quote that I chose for today comes from the Italian opera composer Giacomo Puccini. And I don't know what it was. He just like really appealed to me, maybe because he has Venus retrograde and he actually has 5 planets in his chart retrograde, believe it or not. But also I love some of his music. And when I was thinking about this full moon on Saturday night, that's what I don't know why. He just kind of came into my mind and I thought about that. And he has this quote, I lived for art. I lived for love. And so I love that. And plus, I know that you recognize his music, even if you say, Puccini, who's that? Just go to YouTube and check out some of the things. He's got famous, famous pieces, and you will recognize them, I promise. And I'm thinking Saturday night for that full moon, I'm going to put on some Puccini and just, you know, get into the emotion of love and romance and some of those operas that he wrote. So everybody, I hope you have a great week. And that's it. Be happy. Listen to some, you know, classical opera music. Listen to something that you love, you know, that you appreciate. So I'm signing out. This is CA, and you have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world.